Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. There's a man by the name of Savonarola who was a Christian who lived in Italy. His parents would say from an early childhood that he was destined for something different. He began to study scripture at a very early age. He began to lead a very austere lifestyle. He would only eat the very minimum amount of food, and he began sleeping on the hardest of surfaces. He was born in a time when the Catholic faith permeated Christian faith. He decided that his task in life was not to preach in cathedrals, but to preach at cathedrals. He didn't live very long. After 8 years of speaking out against the Catholic Church, it was decided that the Catholic Church would be better off without him. So Savonarola was hung, his body was burned, and then it was tossed over a cliff into a river. The judicial board who reached that verdict wrote these words on paper to be proclaimed to the city. They wrote that even as John the Baptist was killed, so must Savonarola. Appropriate wording for a man who had a lot in common with John the Baptist. Both would never know family as adults. Both would be more comfortable outside than inside. Both died a young, tragic death. And in a way, both paved the way for change in religion. John, of course, would pave the way for Christ. Savonarola would be an inspiration later for Martin Luther, who himself would go on to challenge the dominance of the Catholic Church. And it seems that in every generation, there is someone that stands up and says, this isn't what God wants. This isn't what God says is right. I would imagine that somewhere on this earth today, there is somebody somewhere that is studying the Word and having the fire to say that people have to change. Now, seldom is that person well received. Seldom is that person ever honored. And oftentimes they will die a lonely, bewildered death because people don't necessarily want to listen to that voice. Perhaps maybe no time like now was a voice like John the Baptist needed. Someone that will stand bare-fisted with a hands-on message. Messages that aren't concerned with popularity, but messages that are preparing the way for a king. I'm wondering sometimes if this morning that we remember that we are called to be a type of John the Baptist. We are really called to be a type of Savonarola, a person who will not be conformed to the world, but people that will confront the world. Well, this morning I want to share three observations of John the Baptist. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 18 through verse 38, and we won't read all of those, but I want to bring out three observations from there. That last part of John chapter 1 tells about a man who would have never passed a course on public relations. You can't really blame anyone for not marrying John the Baptist. He spent all of his life in the wilderness. His face was leathery. His hair had never known a pair of scissors. He never drank a drop of wine. He spent hours and hours in prayer. His living was meek. His appearance was peculiar. And you would think that no one would want to have anything to do with him. But if you look at the gospel, especially there in Mark's account, Mark chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it tells us there that John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all of the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. By Mark's account, everybody went to see him. Everybody wanted to have something to do with John the Baptist. Now, some were curious, but Mark tells us that all of the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to see him and being baptized. Some commentators put the number as high as 6 million people that heard the message of John the Baptist. There was something about this man that caused people to come see him. Not only was he a curiosity in his culture, but he also was a change agent in his culture. From John the Baptist, we learned 3 points, and I want to share them this morning very briefly with you. The first thing is when you study the life of John the Baptist, you learn that you don't have to conform to the world to convince the world. There again, he came with a leather belt around his waist. He came with no doubt the greatest Duck Dynasty beard ever. He came with a message that can be summarized with one word. Repent. 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 There was something about the presence of this man that all the world caused the world and the country of Judea and Jerusalem to come see him. And what would that thing be? I think when we look at John the Baptist, we walk away with this principle that sometimes a holy heart can be a winsome heart. To step out to reach people in the world, you don't have to be like them, but you have to be able to recognize who we are trying to be like, and to be like Christ in the midst of the world. There's a story that goes of a high school biology teacher. On the first day of class, he asked the students if there were any Christians in the class, and a few raised their hands, and the teacher made a point to say, I want to tell you all something. I've read your Bible, and I found it to be mostly nonsense. It's a very confused book, and it left me more confused than when I started it. And one of the young men raised his hand and said that, sir, you need to understand that the Bible is God's love letter to his children. So if you are confused by the message, it's because you've been reading someone else's mail. Pretty good answer. There is a time when a person doesn't need to be like the world. Not to conform to the world, but to be different in the midst of the world. The way to make a difference in this world is not necessarily for you to go and preach a sermon, but maybe just to love your spouse. The way for you to make a difference in your work is not necessarily to pass out tracts to your coworkers, but to be the one who volunteers to do the jobs that no one else wants to do. The way for us to make a difference right here in our area is to be the one to be the church who cares for the lonely, for the hurting, and for those in need. There's a story of a minister by the name of Francis of Assisi, and he invited a young preacher to go with him into the village that he was a missionary for. And the young man was very honored to go with him into the town. And when they went into the village, Francis of Assisi would stop and he would talk to all of the people in the market. He would stop and talk to the mothers and to the fathers and to the children. And after walking around the village for some time, the young preacher thought that Francis would stop at the square and begin speaking his message. But he never did do that. Later, when they went back into the monastery, the young preacher stopped him. And he said, we never preached the sermon. To which Francis of Assisi replied, we never stopped preaching the sermon from the moment we walked into that village. Most of the time, for all of us, how we live is the message that we give. There was something different about John the Baptist that called upon people to look upon him, so much so that they would say, I want to try and live like that. And really, today, in a culture when everything is up for grabs, couldn't this culture use a group of people that will be honest when everybody else isn't? A group that will love their families when so many choose not to do that. A group of people who have decided to champion the rights of the unborn and the elderly when others have forgotten them. Couldn't this culture use a quorum of honesty like that? Well, that's exactly what John the Baptist was. And he brings us to the second point. He reminds us that you don't have to know all of the story to tell the story. In John chapter 1, verses 29 through 31, it says there that the next day he saw Jesus come toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he who of whom I said, After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came, baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. John's saying, I didn't even know who he was, but I was preaching about him. John says, I didn't know who he was, but I was baptizing people. I didn't know who he was, but I've surrendered my entire life to him. So that kind of takes care of the myth that you have to know everything about Jesus before you can talk about Jesus. So much for the myth that you have to understand every scripture in the Bible before you can talk about some of the scriptures in the Bible. One writer tells a story of being over at a friend's house with him and his wife and his small daughter. The adults were inside of the house talking, and the daughter, Jenna, who was two at the time, was outside playing with the other couple's four-year-old daughter, Katie. This couple had a swimming pool, and while the daughters, or while the adults were talking, the little girls were outside playing, and little Jenna fell into the pool. Katie ran inside and shouted, "Jenna's fell in the pool." The four adults were immediately on their feet, and the little girl was pulled to safety in time. But Katie, the four-year-old, had been taught by her parents that if any child ever fell into the pool without adult supervision, she needed to tell a grown-up as fast as she could. Now let's just talk a few things about what Katie knew. Did Katie have any idea of the biological implications of having water in your lungs? You think Katie had ever gone to medical school and ever dissected a cadaver to see why a body has to retain a certain amount of oxygen in its bloodstream? Do you think that she'd ever read a book on biology and about the function of the body? Well, of course not. She hadn't done any of those things. But little Katie had been told something by her parents, and that was, if somebody goes into the pool, you cry out as loud as you can. And in the same way, would that we would do the same. But there's stuff in the book of Revelation, you might say, that I don't understand or I can't explain. And that's okay. Join the club. And you say, I can't tell anybody about Jesus because there's some things in the Old Testament that trip me up. And that's okay too. But again, realize that little Katie just knew that there was something she had to do. But there was power in her words. There was power in what she said. It changed the presence and position of people around her. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, according to that verse, what is the power of God? Is it the preacher? Is it the teacher? Is it the church building? Paul tells us that the power of God is the gospel. It's the story. It's the message. Hebrews 4:12 says that, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The Hebrews writer is saying there is something alive in the word itself. When a person spends time with the word, it penetrates every part. Somebody explained to me where your thoughts and the intentions of the heart come together. Someone explained to me where the soul and the spirit unite. They all kind of overlap, don't they? And that's exactly what the writer is saying. God can go where we cannot. The word itself is living and active. It's like an organism. It's like, in a way, a medical treatment. You put it in there and it goes to work. And what's the point? Well, the point is somebody in your world is needing you to open the Bible to them so that they can see it. And if you say, I don't know how to do that, open it to the 23rd Psalms and let them hear the fact that the Lord is their shepherd. That can make a difference in someone's lives. Somebody needs to read or have read to them John 3:16. They need to know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Because, as the writer of Hebrews says, there is power in the word itself. It goes beyond what you can imagine and really what logic dictates. And the last thought this morning, the first one there, you don't have to conform to the world to convince the world. You don't have to know all of the story to tell the story. And lastly, you don't have to do it all to do a lot. When John F. Kennedy was the president of the United States, he called the gardener and said that I want an oak tree planted on the South Lawn. And the gardener said, but Mr. President, that would take a long time for it to ever reach its full growth. To which the president responded, then for heaven's sake, plant it today. You don't have to see it all begin just like John the Baptist. All he saw was the beginning. At the end of his life, John found himself in a jail cell in Herod's castle. And his last question, as far as we know, was carried by his disciples to Jesus. In Luke 7:20, we find them there before Jesus. And they said that John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" There, John was still wondering if he had done the right thing. He died not knowing if he had made any difference or any significant contribution. But think about where we would be without his work. You don't have to do it all to do something significant. John the Baptist sent his disciples to follow Jesus with questions brewing in his mind if Jesus was the one they should continue to follow. But he knew he needed to do something, and that's what he did. It reminds me really of Jeremiah, who preached for a generation to a city who never listened to him. And as far as we know, Jeremiah died in a distant land, and as far as we know, he never knew if anyone ever responded to his preaching. At the same time that he was preaching, there was a king by the name of Josiah, who became such a follower of God that he purged the temple and the land of false gods and idols. But when he died, his own five sons did not believe in God. Both Jeremiah and Josiah probably, like John the Baptist, went to their graves wondering if they had done anything significant. But Jeremiah and Josiah had no idea that a little boy scurrying around the streets of Jerusalem was hearing them preach. He was hearing them act, hearing of their deeds. And that little boy, by the name of Daniel, would be carried away into Babylonian captivity. And he would live what he heard through four different kings. Through four different kings, he would proclaim the goodness of God. Again, just because you can't do it all, doesn't mean that you shouldn't do something. Just because you can't feed all of the hungry doesn't mean you can't feed a few. Just because you can't love everybody doesn't mean that you can't love some. Just think about that as we kick into this vacation Bible school season and the need for teachers and helpers. Think about that when we get ready for Friends and Family Day in October. Think about that when you make your rounds through town and to work and school. Just because you can't reach everybody doesn't mean that you can't reach a few. When Savonarola decided to go to Florence to speak out against the corruptness of Catholicism, it was a long journey, and he had no food or no money. He went along the way begging for those things. And when he reached the city of Florence, he was so faint that he fell on the steps of the city, unable to go in. And he was awakened by the tap on his shoulder. And just before he was executed, he would say that he didn't know if that was a man or an angel. But this stranger gave him a basket of food, and he was able to regain his strength. And he stood and began walking into the city. And the stranger said these words to him, "Do not forget the task to which God has sent thee." Well, he went to his death with that task. We would hope that Savonarola never forgot. For sure, John the Baptist never forgot. It would be our prayer this morning that we would never forget that either. This morning, if you are not a Christian, that decision is yours, and we urge you to make that choice as together we stand and we sing.